I think many of you know that I grew up in the roaring metropolis of Mechanicsburg. I think there's only one. Is there two lights in Mechanicsburg now or just one? Just one. Well, when my parents moved to Florida when I was in college, and I went down there after breaks and then after college. Later in college in Florida, I met my wife, Jane. We were married. And a few years later, we moved to Port Charlotte, Florida, which is just north of Fort Myers and just south of Sarasota right there. Well, that was roughly 19 years ago. Keep going, John. Well, approximately 8 years ago, 7, 8 years ago, I had the opportunity. No, it wasn't that long ago. It was 2003. So it was 6 years ago. It was 2003. I had the opportunity with my cousin. We were going to a Tampa Bay Buccaneer football game on Monday Night Football, and he doesn't like to take the interstate up. So we drove up 41, which goes right through Port Charlotte. Well, we lived there for almost 2 years. And I worked all over Port Charlotte. I knew Port Charlotte like the back of my hand. Let me tell you something. I would have gotten lost in 2 seconds. Because so much had changed. The whole town had just completely changed. You know, I thought about this in reference to prophecy. You know, look at the change that we've seen in this world since 2003. Throw that number out there. How about since last year? Amazing things. Violent changes have taken place. We look at this world and we can start to realize how radically it's changing right before our eyes, isn't it? I looked at some headlines over the past year. It was amazing. I went back and started looking at how the world changed, not only the world, but how our country has changed. And I looked and I started scanning through different newspapers on the internet. Different areas. And I was amazed. The world that we knew 5, 10, 20 years ago, it doesn't exist anymore today, does it? Not at all. People are thinking differently. People are seeing things differently. The big thing now is there's no absolute truth. That truth is what you make it. How does that compare with God's Word? Let's consider some of these headlines from the last year. Pulled one up. Said the Fed effectively cut the benchmark rate to zero, a new record low for the key interest rate. Here's another one. Found this in the same day. So the INF chief predicts riots in the street if the global financial system is not overhauled. The global financial system. Another headline said, this was in the New York Daily News, said New York was flat broke and that they were going to start taxing iPods. Another one that I found in the World Press. Israel may attack Iran in the year 2009. So we know Iran's working on becoming a nuclear power. And Israel would do a preemptive attack on Iran to keep them from nuking them, basically. You know, how's our unemployment situation? Is it pretty good? It's worst it's been in years, isn't it? And on top of that, I came across something else as I was studying for this. And man has written a book claiming to be one of the two witnesses of Revelation. Well, I did a little bit more research, and I found hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of people claiming to be one of the two witnesses. Well, let's see. Mathematically, that just doesn't work, does it? They can't all be one of the two witnesses. But he wrote a book about this. Turn on your TVs. Anybody seen the advertisement for the new movie? 2012? It's all over the internet, it's all over the television, about the Mayan prophecy of 2012 that says that the world will end, and I think it's December 20th or 21st of the year 2012. The world will end. Is the world really going to end? Well, I actually subscribed to a newsletter service. It's called prophecynewswatch.com. And every Thursday, they compile through the week headlines from major newspapers, magazines, reporting throughout the world. And they bring these into an article of how these headlines fit into Bible prophecy. They take various sources from all over the world. You know, it's an amazing subject when you think about it, isn't it? Prophecy. Prophecy is something now that's catching the attention of people who aren't even religious. How many of you have been asked, what's going on in this world today? Jesus has to come soon, doesn't he? You know, it's kind of amazing. You look at the internet today, and it's just completely bombarded with prophetic websites. Think back 5, 10, 20 years ago. There was barely anything ever written about prophecy. But now, all of a sudden, we're getting all these things to appear. Changing today, people. And that brings me to some questions. Questions that I'll ask today, and I'll also ask next week. What does it all mean? Is the end really near? Is prophecy being fulfilled today? Right before our very eyes. How can we know for sure? And the most important question of all, what does God expect out of us in this time? What does God expect out of us? I'm going to give you a few more quotes now. You ready? Because I was absolutely dumbfounded as I studied this. Many of these are from Prophecy Watch or prophecynewswatch.com. They quote a lot about the 20th century to give us kind of a picture of where we are today. In the 20th century, 175 million lives were lost due to war. 175 million. From 1990 to 1995, 70 countries were involved in 93 wars that killed 5.5 million people. 5 years. 5 years. In 1999, there were 40 wars raging that time. How about the population explosion You ever thought about that? This one really blew me away. Before the year 1650, the population doubled once every 1,000 years. By 1804, the population reached 1 billion. 1804. It doubled again from 1804 to 1927. Only 123 years this time. Not 1,000. In 1990, the world population was 5.5 billion. In the year 2009, 6.5 billion. And it's continually rising rapidly. That's not all. How many of you are aware of what happened on September the 11th, 2001? How many remember what happened? Anybody? Anybody? Lots of hands going up. It was the attack of the World Trade Center, wasn't it? Was that the major prophetic event of that day? September the 11th, 2001? Was that the major prophetic event that happened? What do you think? Well, on September the 11th, 2001, on that day, it was reported that 35,000 people starved to death on that day. 30,000 of them were children. 35,000 people starved to death on that same day in history. According to Bible prophecy, I believe that Christ said over in Matthew 24 and verse 6, pretty detailed list he gave us, wasn't it? There will be wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilence. It wasn't until 1974, according to the record keeping of a corporation called Starvation.net, 1974, when the starvation numbers began to creep up. 1974. In other words, as the world became more civilized, as lives were being changed, diseases are being eradicated, those figures start to creep up. It was the first time in history that it wasn't from natural disasters. You know what it was from? War. It was from war. War became the major cause of starvation. Every day today, approximately 40,000 people die of starvation. 40,000. Where's the reporting at? We've come to a place in civilization where you read the headline, 40,000 people died today of starvation. That's it. It's terrible. Where is the prophetic fulfillment? while we here in America spend $900 million a year feeding our pets. I'm not suggesting you stop feeding your pets. In fact, if I stopped feeding Buddy, he'd probably bite me. I don't think I want to get bit by Buddy. $900 million on our pets. There's a change in this world today, isn't there? There's a change. You know, I did some research and found some doctors that gave in depth what the body goes through when you die of starvation. Your organs inside your body literally begin to shrink. All except for your brain. So you're fully aware what's going on. Be a horrible way to die, wouldn't it? Horrible way to die. To think of the 40,000, 35,000 are children. If that is a true statistic, it would be like 40 747 jets filled with 1,000 people every single day crashing. Would that make the headlines if one 747 with 1,000 people on it died? You bet it would. That'd make you quit flying, wouldn't it? It's pretty incredible. Jesus spelled it out for us in Matthew 24. He spelled it out that war would lead to famine. The four horsemen of the apocalypse. What do they identify? What are the major prophetic events that are going on today that we can look at? Look at the United States. Are we winning the drug war? Not hardly. It's estimated that 2.2 million people in the United States today are hardcore drug users. Hardcore. It's estimated in New York City that it's 1 out of every 40 people. 1 out of every 40. There are 1,000 children born every single day addicted to drugs. And I've seen that firsthand. It's not pretty. Are we in a mess or what? You know, when we look at these events in Matthew 24, if we look at the four horsemen of the apocalypse, can we say that we've just now entered the end time? Or maybe have we been in the end time for a little while? My thought is we've been in the end time for a little while. I think we can take it back to the year 1945. Does anybody know what happened in that year? The atomic bomb was dropped on Japan. You know, people, we've entered a day and age when prophecy is being fulfilled right before our eyes. You know, Prophecy Newswatch, many of you, to get on there and look at that. Because they report a lot of the things that it talks about in prophecy. We've entered the end time. But the Bible tells us at the very end, we'll have a robust economy. Controlled by a Babylonian system. And also be a very, very powerful religious organization as well. Where's that at? We're also told that scoffers will come along saying, oh, the end's not yet. Everything's fine. We're not in the end times. Everything's fine. You just come to church and you'll get rich. We also have a lot of people out there setting dates for Christ's return now, don't we? Lots of them. And what did it mean when Jesus himself said, you do not know the day nor the hour? He said, I don't even know. What events are going on right now? What events are happening that we should be looking for? Well, let's go now to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel was giving some startling things here, wasn't he? Very, very detailed prophecies from God about the end time. He was told what it would be like. He was descriptive too. Daniel chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Now at that time, Michael the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people will arise. This is a prophecy of the end times. We're told that in Daniel 11. And it continues right into Daniel 12. And he says, and there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. I submit to you that we've entered this time as far back as 1945. You know what? You should read some stories, some articles about the making of the atomic bomb. Many of the highest scientists that were working on that project didn't know what would happen. They did not know if they could control that chain reaction or whether if it went off, it would simply keep going and destroy the whole world. They didn't know. Something's changed, hasn't it? When man entered the nuclear age, something changed. You know what the most interesting part of prophecy is? It's the one that I want to talk about and focus on the rest of this morning and next week. You know what? Prophecy ends on a good note. It really does. Prophecy ends on a good note. While everybody is emphasizing all these terrible things that are going to happen. Yeah, they're going to happen. It's fair enough. Bible prophecy ends on a positive note. With God's people being delivered. With this world being delivered. Everyone whose name was found written in the book. We know that book is the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's go down to verse 2 now. It says, many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake. These to everlasting life. But others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. In verse 3. Those who have insight, this is what I want you to look at. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And look closely at the next phrase. And those who lead the many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. There is a work being done that will actually turn people to righteousness. And we're told those who are part of that work will shine like the stars of heaven forever. What's that all about? What's that say about you and I? What does it say about who we are? You know, this section of Scripture here refers to time of the end. It refers to the time of the judgment of God's people. But the promise here is that God's people will be delivered. Every prophetic story ends on that same note. Of God's people being delivered. Every Old Testament prophecy written ends on God's people being delivered. Turn to the end of the book of Revelation. Read about what your future has for you if you repent and turn. It's more glorious than we can even imagine. The things that God has planned for us. But the question remains, what about God's people through this time? Who is turning people to righteousness today? You know what it looks like to me? In this end time, the church is more than just a warning messenger. The church is a message of hope and of deliverance. And that there will be those who will turn to righteousness. Let's look in Daniel chapter 4, or verse 4 here, Daniel 12. It says, but as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many may go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. I like how the King James puts it here. They'll go to and fro. Is there any doubt that that's being fulfilled? Any doubt at all? How has knowledge and transportation increased? Is there any question that we have entered that period of time? I want you to think about something. The first automobile was invented in 1877. You remember that, don't you, Norman? 2 weeks I had to, you weren't here, I could pick on you. I can today. The first automobile was invented in the year 1877. Today, there are 600 million cars available. 600 million. That's not even considering air travel. I found a website. It was the neatest thing I ever saw. It showed the grids every day of air travel. And it was a big mass of lines covering the whole world. To and fro. To and fro. Consider this. The past 100 years, man has taken cars that what? Averaged 30 miles an hour way back when? The first day of automobiles, the old Model Ts, didn't they run about 30? To 25,000 1,000 miles an hour in a rocket ship sending man to the moon. In 100 years. Has knowledge increased? I came across statistics. And it gave all the knowledge from the dawn of time to the year 1880, one, a value of one. Guess what? Knowledge has doubled 16 times in just the last 10 years. 100 years ago, 90% of the world's population was illiterate, couldn't read or write. 90%. Today, you know what those figures are? 80% of the world is literate. And if you talk about the Western world, we're up to 90% literate. How many of you have a cordless phone in your house? Well, only 25% of you in 1990 had one. By 2000, it was 78%. How about cell phones? How about cell phones? Well, in 1989, there were 3.5 million cell phone subscribers. 3.5 million. By 1999, 10 years later, there were 86 million. As of November 2009, there are 2 billion cell phones. Marilyn knows all about that. She's got one now. 2 billion. Is there any question in Daniel's explanation here? Where ever in history has there been a day like today? We're alive. Isn't it exciting that we're alive to watch these things take place? Scary? Yeah, a little. But exciting? A lot. We're alive to see prophecy take place right before our very eyes. But what should we be doing? Should we be, sitting down in our easy chair? Yep, there was a prophecy being fulfilled. Yep, there was another one. I believe that. You know what? I better get my guns. Better surround myself here. Is that what we should be doing? Or does God have something else in mind for us? That's my point. What does God want us to do? These events that are prophesied are going to happen no matter what. No matter what we do with our lives. God's plan will not be thwarted. But what should we do? Well, you're going to have to wait until next week to get the answer for that. We're going to look at many, many scriptures next week. Some that you may have not even looked at in a prophetic sense before. But until that time, let's each and every one of us be about God's business. That business is bringing many sons and daughters to glory.